People that are emotionally upset are people that think. Did you know that? That's why they drink, so they don't think. Did you know that? People drink so they don't go crazy. They like to have some kind of diversion, otherwise their minds are going all the time. So they don't know how to shut the mind off. So if they can, you know, get into something that will shut their mind off or maybe watch a funny TV show or something, they can kind of forget for a while. But it doesn't really work. You have to know how to get happiness all the time. How many here are happy all the time? Just, I mean, emotionally happy. Man, a few weird people. That's good. praise God. Hey, Rick, I understand you're married now. Amen. Praise God. Are you happy? Amen. How come? Hey, it's the right answer. Praise God. Come on up here for a second. Come on up here for a second. And Wendy, too. Amen. Praise God. Yahoo! Glory. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. I haven't seen you since you got back. Hi. Hi. We'll tell about marriage. Is it really everything they say it is?
It's everything.
Amen. It's good. That's the right answer. Now sit down. No. Tell how great it is.
It's great. It's a completely different feeling.
Amen. It's peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of peace.
Amen.
A lot of joy.
That's exciting.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just very real. A lot of the more superficial things are over, and you really.
It's different from dating because things that seem as tragic if they weren't there dating.
Yeah.
Problems.
Amen. That's
you
wonderful.
You don't have to work at it. Things are just more natural. Mm-hmm. And we get along a lot better married than we
do. Yeah.
Yeah. Glory. Hey, amen. That's exciting. Hey, we never did finish the counseling, remember? We forgot.
We're going to do that.
It's not necessary anymore now. I was going to tell you how to. No, well, praise God. Isn't God good? Okay, so happiness. God is for happiness, emotional happiness, not just deep down spiritual, you know, something in heaven kind of happiness. But God wants heaven to come to earth. And you actually are capable, say it, I'm capable of being happy. Not all the time. No, but much of the time. You know, now the thing is, you can be happy all the time in the sense that when you're not, you can say you're sorry and, you know, get it and so on and so forth. In other words, you can actually be happy all the time, but not all the time literally. You'll have moments when you're, you know, not. But you can quickly transform that. You don't have to wait for magic, or you don't have to wait for God, or you don't have to wait for the devil or something. You can just make yourself happy. There, you have the ability. A lot of people say, well, be happy. You know, and you can't do it that way. But there is a way that you actually can attain happiness all the time whenever you want it. Would you like it more often? You know, because you can have it. But it's the enemy who is constantly undermining us to say, don't you dare be happy. You know, not you. And the enemy is constantly undermining us so that we're not happy all the time. Because we're afraid. And actually, most evangelicals are afraid to be happy. You know why? Because if we get happy, the devil's going to get us. No, that's true, you know. If I get happy, my God, what will happen, you know? And then all of a sudden I'll be shaken to my roots and I'll realize I'll never be happy again, I promise. Because we don't want to be too happy, you know. So if we feel a little bit guilty and feel a little depressed, then we feel better. Because then we don't have to fall so far. Did you understand what I said? You know, so a lot of us protect ourselves because we don't want to get high. Because, you know, if you get high, you're kind of manic. You know, and then you'll get high, you'll get low. So you protect yourself by saying, I'll never be happy again. That's a protection. I don't want to be happy. I'm not going to be happy. No, Jesus wants you to be happy. He said things like this, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I know that emotional joy is not the same thing as spiritual joy. Spiritual joy is kind of like the depth of the ocean. Emotional joy is kind of like the waves, you know. So it comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. But let's just make sure it comes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for a lot of people, they're living in kind of misery all the time. Now, I want to look at numbers in the Old Testament. Moses will be our teacher tonight for happiness. How many believe that Moses knew how to be happy? Yeah, the old lawgiver himself. Hallelujah. Now, I got some notes for you there. Let's look at Numbers. Where is that Numbers book? Yeah. Maybe we'll look a little at 13. Leviticus, Numbers, here we are. All right. Now, you remember how this all started out. Moses was about to go into the land that God had told him about, and he'd gotten out of Egypt. He was out of the world now. Like a Christian, you're born again. You're out of Egypt, no longer in the world. But yet, you still, you're not really in the promised land yet. You're kind of in the middle. You're out of the world, but you're not really fully in love. You're not emotionally happy all the time. You're not conquering sin and so on and so forth. So you're kind of in this middle ground. And so Moses wanted to spy out the land. He wanted to see what it was like. And so he sent these guys up, the heads of all the houses, and he sent them up to bring back a report. And 10 of them came back with one report, and then there was a minority report. All right, now let's see here. Maybe let's start about 26 of 13. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now the fruit was incredibly big, and it's not like Israel today. Israel today is kind of a barren wilderness, but in those days, Israel was full of trees, and it was just a real garden. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey." And a land that will flow with milk and honey is definitely a rich land. It means the bees are busy, and it means the land is fertile, and the bees are fertilizing everything, and the milk is flowing because the grasses are good, and so on and so forth. So this is a very rich land. Any farmer would love to have this kind of land, flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. And they saw these big... if you've ever been to Israel, how many have ever been to Israel? Well, in Israel, you can go down to Jericho, for example, and get grapefruit that are incredibly big and delicious. And the oranges, on the seacoast and so on. So it is really a tremendous land, especially down near the Dead Sea area. The fruit grows more luscious and larger than anywhere else in the world. So it's a kind of like a little hothouse there that God has put 1,300 feet below sea level. It's just a tremendous growing area. Anyway, so they were bringing back this fruit from the land, and everybody was impressed. Said, "Wow, look at that." "Nevertheless, the people be strong." So it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it, nevertheless. Heaven is a wonderful place, nevertheless. "The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Now, Anak, they were the Anakim were the giants. So they said, you know, the thing is, God has really laid out for us a great, happy life. The only problem is there's problems. You know, the only problem is there's going to be problems. You know, now God has offered, you know, all this stuff. You know, you are blessed with every blessing in heavenly places and all these neat promises that God has given, you know. And, you know, when you're a new Christian, you just feel, wow, you know, I'm going to go out and have a wonderful life now that I've met Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And, you know, I'm just in love with God. And then, you know, you got a marriage. Or, you know, or you go to a church and, you know, things bog down. Somehow the pastor wasn't quite what we thought he was, and the people are hypocrites, and, you know, the wife isn't quite as happy about Jesus as, you know, I am waking up at 2 a.m. Hallelujah, glory to God. You know, she's not quite that excited. And, you know, so, you know, somehow the Christian life doesn't pan out to be as exciting as it first seemed to be. So these guys said, you know, it's really great. Look at the fruit of this, but, and most Christians give that kind of report. Well, everything's great, but, you know, I'll have to say it. I'll have to be honest. I want to be honest. I want to be honest. I want to be a denier. You know, all Dallas doesn't want to get into denial. I don't want to be a denier. I don't want to just say things superficial. I don't want to just be cheap. I want to be honest. It's really a bummer. It's no good. This Christian life stinks. You know, how honest. A lot of Christians are so excited about being honest. Let me be honest. The pastor's committing adultery. I have to be honest. The organist has run off with the secretary, you know, and so on and so forth. And people are giving all these horrible stories about how ghastly it is and how it really isn't that exciting to wake up in the morning and pray. Well, we got up at 4 this morning. We just had about 4 hours of prayer. And brushed our teeth then and had breakfast. Mike, you did that, didn't you, this morning?
I did
three, though. Three, amen. And you know, Christians are not giving those neat reports. They're not just telling how great it is. You know, today we had four salvations and 16 healings, and you know, on the way to work, I saw some accidents, and you know, and so on and so forth. You know, and all this incredible. No, Christians are not giving good reports. They're just looking like they're like everybody else, and so they want to be honest today because they don't want to be liars and hypocrites like so many Christians are. So they give these real honest reports, and you can make a cult out of being honest. Actually, honesty for a Christian, before God, it's okay. But before man, if you're honest, you're probably not really glorifying God. The point is, you're being honest because you don't really have a good testimony. But you ought to be giving a splendid testimony every day of what great things God has done. You ought to be so eager to say, oh, I want to just share. I want to just share what good things God has done. I'm just can hardly wait to come to the body. I want to tell all the great things God has done for me today. He showed me my sin. Hallelujah. I mean, that would be exciting, right? Did anybody see sin today? I mean, that's exciting. When you see sin, amen, there's nothing more exciting. To me, that's one of the greatest manifestations of God, to zero in and just cut you right in half. Because that frees you. You know, to hide the sin is to eat away like a cancer on the inside. But to have it revealed, there's something splendid about that. That doesn't depress me. When I see sin, I'm not depressed, no. To see sin is actually to be released. To see it is the most wonderful thing. To see that you're a hypocrite, that's marvelous. Amen. Amen. Now you don't seem to be excited. That's exciting, you know, when you see that. I'm not talking about some brother or sister pointing it out. No, they do it, viciously. I'm talking about God, the Holy Spirit, who loves you, showing you stuff like that. That's wonderful. That's so free. So you don't have to carry that burden around all the time. Anyway, a lot of Christians don't give a good report. They're not telling how great it is. How great thou art. Just to be alive is great. To be born again is great. To be filled with the Spirit, to have Christian brothers and sisters, just to go to church, to live in this land, just everything. You know, I don't think there's one thing we have to complain about. I think at the end of the trip, God's going to say, hey, Jim, how was the trip? Awesome. I mean, did you like everything? Everything. That's what he wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear, well, the wife you gave me, I had a little problem with her. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear that she was awesome, that she was great. So you might as well start now, speaking now the truth in love. Speaking now. If there's something wrong with your wife, go and get it fixed up. Maybe the problem's with you. Maybe there's nothing wrong with your wife. As a matter of fact, God said that. He said, Jim, always get the log out of your own eye first. And then it'll be easy to correct your wife a little bit. Hello. You seeing the fun of this? Every step along the way, here's what God says. All things work together for the good. No, let's revise that. Some things work together for the good. A few things work together for the good. I mean, what kind of report are we going to give? Do all things work together for the good? Or some things? Or most things? Or a few things? Or, anything in between? God says all. Is God right or wrong? Do I agree with God, or should I agree with what the devil tells me? Should I agree with what I see? Should I agree with my experience? Should I go by sight? Or am I going to walk by faith? Faith says all things, then all things are okay. Even if they're negative and bad, he says, even those God will turn to your good. Even if you do the sinning, what if I do the sinning? What if it's not circumstances and bad relationships? What if it's me doing the sinning? God says all things. Wow, now that's hard. I don't know. I can't be happy if I've just committed the sin. If you do, okay, I can forgive you. And if my relationships are falling apart, okay, well, that's just, the way things are. But if I'm the one sinning, can I forgive myself? You know that most people can't forgive themselves when they sin? Let's say you've committed adultery. Can you forgive yourself? Are you extraordinary? Is that something extraordinary? Let's say you've taken a pencil from work. I wonder if those two are related. I wonder I wonder if sin is just sin. I wonder if God is just wanting us to come before Him and say, Lord, you know, I thank God You're merciful because I've sinned. What's the difference whether it's a pencil or it's adultery or murder or whatever it is? Remember King David? He committed murder. Remember Saul? He used to be called Saul. He used to get Christians out of their homes and send them off to jail and make sure they were beaten, and some of them probably died and so on. You know, most of God's people were killers. Did you know that? Moses. Did you know that most of God's people were killers? Quite a few of them committed adultery. I mean, you know, it's quite a crew we have behind us. Thank God we've improved. I mean, things have gotten better these days. We've grown a lot. No, we still need mercy today. Every day His mercies are new and fresh. Why? Because every day we need them. Every morning they're new and fresh because every morning we need forgiveness. Don't you make abundant use of God's forgiveness and generosity? God's kindness is leading us to repentance. God's goodness is leading us to repentance. So God doesn't want us to be proud. You know, the only sin in the New Testament that really is bothersome to the Holy Spirit is the sin of hypocrisy. It's not the sin of murder, adultery, envy, lust, jealousy, greed, and so on. But it's hypocrisy. It's imagining that we have some goodness in us. The only thing that really is bothering God right now is that we're not accepting His forgiveness because we don't want to really, you know, we want to be clean. We want to look good rather than just admit, no, there's no good thing dwelleth in us. See, the only thing good is God. Jesus once had that. He said, good teacher. He said, wait. None is good but God. Oh, wait a minute. Some people are good. Some people are better than others. I was better this week than I was last week. He said, none is good. No, not one. It's rather extreme, rather extravagant. I don't know about that. I mean, there's no good in me at all? The Bible says no good. How many know that the Bible's right? I was glad you said that because I was going to catch some of you. There's no good. None. Not at all. But most of us have been taught by religion to let our good side come out. You know what? Your good side is the same as your bad side. When you're good, that just means you're hiding. That just means your motives are a little bit, you know, twisted and snaky. You see, man in his best state is altogether vanity. Man's righteousness, the Bible says that's like a filthy rag. It stinks to God. It's a stench in the nostrils of God because Jesus Christ is the righteous one. The only righteousness you have is Jesus. He doesn't want you being good. You're not able. You never did keep the law. You never will keep the law. You're not now keeping the law. And in all eternity, you'll never keep the law. It's Jesus Christ who lives in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Nowhere in there do you do it. Oh, yes, it's you, but it's a new kind of you. It's you as vessel, not you as producer. I know this is hard for us because religion puts pressure on us to produce. That's why there's so much guilt and fear and so much judgment in the church. You didn't do right. You didn't do right. That person did right. It's wrong. No. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what makes us able to love one another. How could you love someone if you're superior? If you're above somebody, you can't love them. No, we're all equal. We're all on the same level. Nobody's superior. Jesus is the only one lifted up, and He said, I'm among you as a servant. I take all of your sin upon myself. Now you don't have any. No, I don't have any anymore. Even when we sin now, it's just out of forgetfulness. It's out of ignorance. It doesn't come from my heart. It doesn't come from my heart. I just didn't know who I was. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we don't tell people who they are. We actually look at people in such a way that they appear to be the same way they always were. In other words, we don't give them their new being. We look at them as old beings. You know what I'm saying? We still treat people like they're just sinners just shaping up a little bit. No. He said, call one another saint. Did you say your name is Tom? Saint Tom. Saint Tom. Man, that sounds funny. Be better to say sinner Tom. Yeah, that sounds better. Sinner Tom. And we feel better that way because we feel more like, you know, I could live up to that. But God says no. You know, when Jesus came and looked at people, even though they were sinners, when Jesus looked at them, he already was looking at them through the mercy of God. And he was already treating people with dignity and with value and importance. And his whole desire was to get people to be happy. He wanted people to be, even people that hated him, even people that weren't Christians, even people that were lepers or outsiders or, you know, he didn't care who they were. He was always bringing hope. You know, there's always hope. Say that. There's always hope. Boy, that's good to know. I'm so glad to hear that. That there's always hope in my relationships. There's always hope in my personal life. There's always hope in this, you know, dark world. In the world, there's trouble. I know there's trouble in this world. He never told me it'd be good. So if my happiness is depending upon good circumstances, good relationships, and me being good, I'm in trouble. Because that will come so few and far between. Sometimes circumstances are good. You know, I get a raise or, you know, sickness is healed or something good happens. I'm happy then. I'm emotionally happy. But if that's the basis of my emotional happiness, it's not a good one. Why? Because I'm aware that good thing that just happened could change. So if something nice happens to me today, even while I'm just about to be happy over it, I'm already thinking about the fact that that could change. So I'm not really that happy. Even when I'm happy, I'm not that happy. Because I know things will change. Now, Jesus put it even more accurately. He said, in the world you have trouble. In the world you have trouble. In the world you have trouble. So that's even more accurate. It's like, don't even look. You know, don't even worry about it. You know, when things go well, just thank God. When they go poorly, just thank God. It's the same. He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Don't look, though. Don't look. If you look, if God says you have a perfect wife and you look, it'll mess it up. It'll mess it up. They don't look, then go by faith. You have to go by faith. If you look hard enough, you can find something wrong. And the only reason we do that is not because other people are so awful, which they are, but that's not the reason. The reason is because we want to distract from our own problems and troubles. So I say, hey, what's wrong with you? And we quickly find stuff in other people because we like to distract from ourselves. But God says, that's okay, I love you. Even while we're judging one another, God's looking down and saying, isn't she pretty? You know, that's us, we're the bride. Isn't she pretty? And the devil's saying, ugh, those people? Man, let me give a report. Let me tell how they really are. Let me give an honest report. You know, and if the devil won't do it, you got people that will do it. You know, you got people that will, they'll tell on you. And if they don't tell on you, they kind of blackmail you like, I could tell on you, you know. God doesn't want that. God wants to give. So when Moses said, okay, give us your report, 10 of them said this. They said, man, the fruit is good. Look at this. Here it is. We brought some evidence of it. But there's giants in the land. I mean, these guys are like, they're incredibly big. We were like little grasshoppers. No, these guys were giants. And we were just nothing. I mean, don't think we can go up and take that thing. That's hard. God, this is a tough land. It's not easy. Yeah, you say rejoice always, but what do you know? Did you see those giants? God, they're big. When you get cancer, you call that easy? When someone smashes up your car, you call that easy? When your wife wants a divorce, you call that easy? And on and on and on. What we see is giants. What you see, God says, I see what you see, but I see more. I see more. I see through what you see. I don't just see a cross. I see the glory of God at work. You know, and as a matter of fact, what he said was, 14:9 Numbers, those people, those giants that you're saying and giving a bad report about, those are the very giants that are going to be bred for you. You know, right now you're saying, I wish the giants weren't there. I wish the walls weren't so high. I wish they weren't so thick. I wish life wasn't so tough. I wish I didn't have all these problems. God, won't you take away these problems? The devil's getting me all the time. And and we're always complaining and griping and accusing and excusing and so on and not having any fun at all. When the truth is that every problem in your life is an opportunity for God to bless you. God is using those things to bless you. Why are you complaining and griping and accusing and excusing? Relax. Those people are bread. Those giants are just bread. I mean, giants last a long time. You start eating, you know. They just last a long time. So all the troubles in our life that we want to complain about actually are designed by God to bless you. Did you hear me? In other words, when you get to the end of the road and you tell God, God, there were a lot of problems. I wanted to talk this over with you, and I'm glad I got your ear now. You know, the thing is, God is saying, no, you missed it totally. That was for your blessing. No way. No. I'm sorry, God. Here's one place you are wrong. I mean, I don't know a lot, but I know one thing. And, you know, we have all these things that we are angry at. My father abused me when I was a child. You know, that was wrong. What can I do? And we have all these complaints and gripes, and we are so certain we're right. And God is wrong. But I tell you, God is right. Look, all those things are troubles, yes. Those are real giants, yes. Yes, the walls are high. Yes, the walls are thick. Yes, 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 yes. God sees all that, but he says, don't go by sight. Go by faith, because I'm with you. I will be with you. I'm not just saying you go up. No. They are. Then you would be a grasshopper and they would be giants. But I'm saying, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. There'll be a piece of cake. You go up and take the land. That's why we're able to go to Africa and speak to presidents and just tell them, this is what we're going to do. And they listen. I was amazed. I didn't really think that the president would invite me and I'd be able to tell him everything and so on and so forth. But, you know, he had this love seat. Put this love seat there, and you know, the president sat down in his love seat and invited us in. And Pat Robertson had just been in before we, and Pat had to sit in front of the president like this here. But when I came in, the president said, sit here next to me. Remember that, Bill? That was silly. That was his seat. I said, you want me to sit right here? Yeah, sit here. So I sat right next to the guy, looked over at him. It's silly. You know? Then I just spouted out a lot of stuff. Why? Because God wants to be glorified. God's not put off by ordinary people. Just ordinary people. Don't even come from Dallas, come from Fort Worth. It's ordinary. Wipe the manure off, you know. Sit down next to the president. Mr. President, I was having a lot of fun. And I said stuff like this. I just like to bare my heart. You know, I'll be honest, in other words. I don't want to put on all this protocol and all this nonsense. I just want to talk to you straight. I've come to help you. Let him know I've come to help you. Guy's worth $6 billion. I see, Mr. President, you're in trouble. Come to help you. You remember that, Bill? We just opened up and told him. He liked it. He said, okay, I'll take it. I'll take the help. And we formed a little prayer group. That's what he called it. This man, he had his witchcraft stick with him, see? He wants to have a prayer group with us. I could have told him, put that witch stick away. But now we don't care about that stuff. I tell you, God, no matter how big the giants are, I believe that country is given to us. I think Texas needs Africa right now. I don't think it's Texas that's going over to help them. I think it's a mutual deal. I think we need them and they need us. I think God has saved the best to the last. I think God has saved some treasures. You know, they got this incredible mineral wealth. Incredible mineral wealth. And you know, all they know how to do is dig this stuff up. They can't eat it, you know. So, Bill, you and I just went, hey, we'll take some of those stones. Here, we'll give you a dollar here. Bill made a good deal, you know. Yeah, I'll take those silly stones. Can't eat those. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is this. Always give a good report. Everything about your life is okay. And all the junk especially. All the lousy relationships. Thank God for lousy relationships. It's a good opportunity to turn to God and say, God, here I am stuck in this relationship. And it's been a great pain to me. Trouble. Oh, I thank you for it. I know you got something special here. You're probably using it to break me. You probably knew how stubborn I was. How stiff-necked. You know, God always gives us situations to break us so He can bless us. He breaks us to bless us. He doesn't break us to break us. He breaks us to bless us. What He's trying to say is, I want to give you more. I want to give you something more. So I'm going to break you so that you don't think you earned it. You don't think you deserved it. I want you to know it's just a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. When you come to the president, he never takes gifts from you. I mean, you can give him a gift, but that's just something superficial. No, the president has to give you the gifts. He has to come and, you know, we had 5 bodyguards wherever we went. You know, my wife and I, we had 2 cars, you know, big black Mercedes and then a big white car, new, you know, and all these bodyguards there. They didn't even speak English. Couldn't even communicate with them. But they're protecting us. Well, that's kind of funny. You know, I asked the question after a couple of days. I said, who are all these people? You know, what are they doing? And they said, oh, there's your bodyguards. I said, what do we need bodyguards for? Because you're the guests of the president. Oh. Was somebody going to shoot us? Could be. Oh, well. We'll take them. Yeah, doing a good job. I started to thank those guys after. Hey, you guys are doing a good job. Because, you know, someone might want to bump this president off and, you know, create a scene or something. Give a good report wherever you go. Everything is working your way. I tell you, this world is ours. I'm going to give a good report. Hey, God, I liked that trip. I had fun. You had a little lunch prepared for me along the way. And you had breakfast. I remember when we went to even to Pat Robertson's, you know, he put us in the presidential suite and it was really nice. First class. He just had a brand new hotel, 1 month old. And we got to be in all these neat rooms and stuff. It's fun. This world's for us. Have you been having fun in this world? Taking the best? God's even got more. He's got the best for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe you'll be cheated? How many think you could be cheated? It's possible. I know a lot of you think that. You couldn't be cheated. You belong to God. You know, even if you're not even a child of God, if you hate Him, He still won't cheat you. Nobody's ever going to have a righteous complaint against God. Even if you sin and you mess up and you do everything wrong, you're still not going to be cheated. I'll tell you, God will work day and night to bless you. How good is God? How good is God? The Bible says God is good. Let's say it. God is good. The Bible says God is great. Let's say that. God is great. The Bible says that God loves us with an unconditional, everlasting, never ceasing love. I'll tell you, that's the only thing you need to know in life. If you never know anything else, that's all you need to know. If that doesn't produce emotional, not just faith, but emotional happiness, you missed it. Every day when you wake up, say, God, I want to be emotionally happy now. Right this second. And the reason I can't be is because this. But if you will change all those things, I'll be happy. You ever done that to God? If you don't, you're thinking it anyway, so you might as well tell Him. You know, so, and God will just sit there and smile. And you say, Jim, if I change all those things, is that what's going to make you happy? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is. And that's why I'm not happy. You don't see me smiling right now, God, do you? No. And I'm not, because things are not all perfect. They're not just going my way. And I would like you to change them. If you really love me, do it. God says, no, Jim, I really do love you, but I've done everything already. I don't need to do anything else. Don't look. Just believe me. Do you believe me? Nope. I don't. I don't. If you change some of those things, then I will smile. I'll be happy. But if you don't, no, I will not be happy. And God says, do you believe my word? Of course. Of course I believe your word. You say, well, didn't I say that all things work together for the good? You did say that. But you're not going to trick me. I'm not going to be happy just because you said that. And God wants me to be happy, and He will keep at me until He breaks me. Until I say, okay, God, you're right. I do believe everything's fine. I don't need anything to change. I don't need me to change, the world to change, circumstance to change, relationship to change. Just the way things are, just because you're you. If Calvary was all it was, it'd be enough. But there's not only Calvary, but there's Pentecost. There's not only Pentecost, but there's today. And you know, every day you've been good. Why am I complaining? You know, and it isn't long before I'm counting my blessings and I'm beginning to see I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm wrong, not over a whole bunch of stuff, but just over not being emotionally happy. Because God's saying to me, listen to this, here's a scripture, Psalm 16, verse 11. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures evermore. Psalm 16, 11. In the presence of the Lord. Well, am I not a Christian? Am I not in the presence of the Lord? Am I not in prayer? I'm talking to God every morning when I wake up. I'm in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. I mean, fullness is like more than halfness. It's more than three-quarterness. Fullness is like fullness of joy. Woo-hoo! Glory! You know, that's exciting joy. But if I want to be, you know, behave myself and just be a good normal church member, I won't do that. But God says, fullness of joy. Cheer up. You know, and I don't have to yell and shout to have that, but it would be unusual that I wouldn't do it once in a while. Hello. You know, when things really go well, you feel like shouting. And you know, I'll tell you something, you'll never get cancer or an ulcer or any other kind of sickness. Did you hear me? If you start shouting and worshiping God with all your heart. Because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, people that are sick are people that are sad. People that are sick are people that are thinking. People that are sick are people that are troubled. But when you're shouting unto God, no sin can abide. Oh, God, I love you, 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 I love you. And if there's anything in you that's accusing, if there's anything in you that's negative, you won't be able to keep that up. It'll just eat you up. Mike? Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. And you know, it's so easy. The beauty of it is it's something anybody can do. You don't have to have anything. All you have to do is believe that. You don't have to feel that. See, feelings don't start from feelings. Feelings start from faith. Feelings don't come from circumstances. Yes, if the circumstance changes, suddenly the doctor says you have cancer, and now the doctor says you're well. Oh, hallelujah. I feel good now, you see. But then my feelings are always dependent upon circumstances. Or if someone is mad at me and now they've forgiven me, now I feel good again. Oh, I feel good again. Now, then feelings are dependent on something external. If feelings are dependent upon my behaving myself, now today I did well, so I feel good. But then I'm nervous because maybe I won't feel good. I'm nervous because maybe the relationships will change. I'm nervous because those external circumstances can turn. No, my feelings must never be based. Listen to me. Must never be based on externals. That's why Jesus said, in the world you have trouble. But be of good cheer, not because of externals, not because I'll change the world, not because I'm going to fix everything up for you, not because you'll see it, no. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Because I. So my feelings are not based on circumstances. My feelings are based on Jesus, a relationship that I have to Jesus. And not a relationship that's based on the fact that I performed well for the guy, like I love you so much. No. It's based on the fact that he loves me so much. And I believe it. You see, my happiness is not, God, I'm really happy today because I love you so much. No. That's not why I'm happy. I'm happy because he loves me so much. I might not be able to drum up love for the guy. But the thing that excites me is, even when I'm not performing well, even when I'm not faithful, He is. He said, I'll never change my mind. My thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. Always. I mean, even when I'm sinning, you're still thinking peaceful toward me. But that's not the way I am with people. If people mess up, I want to turn on them. I want to get them. The guy says, well, I'm never like that. My thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace. All I want to ever say to you is I love you. Even when you mess up, even when you hate me, sometimes you shake your fist in my face, sometimes you accuse me, sometimes you're depressed, You're walking along giving me a bad image. You know? And he says, it's in those moments that I want you to know I love you. I forgive you. I'm just so excited about you. I'm on your side. Wow, that's when I need to hear that. When I'm doing well, it's not too surprising that God likes me. But it's when I'm not doing well. When things are going well, then it's not surprising that I'm happy. But when they're not going well, when things look bad, grim, you know, that's when God always says something like this. He says, don't be dismayed. Don't get into a corner and think you have no way out. My God, how will I get out of this situation? The IRS is going to audit me. My wife said she's going to leave me. My church is hating me. You know, those are fun times. That's what God says. God says, now it's really going to get exciting. It's like, who's going to help you now? And do you believe now? God's going to put every one of us to the test. When you get in a tight corner like that and there's no hope, that's when God says rejoice. He says, then laugh. Only we don't feel like it. In those moments we go, huh. No, I'm not going to praise you, God. I know I should. I know I ought to, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be honest right now. I hate you. And furthermore, you know, that's when God says, oh, that's okay, Jim. I'm glad you're honest. This was in you all the while, just coming out now. Now, Jim, can you just rejoice right now? No. Jim, just go ahead. Just let out a little rejoice. No. Jim, okay. Hallelujah. Not very convincing. Jim, do it real convincing. I'm not going to do it convincing. I'll do it by faith only. Hallelujah. There, I did it by faith. No, Jim, do it with all you've got. No. I'm mad at you right now, God. I'm mad at you because you didn't do what I told you to do. Jim, are you God? I know you're God, but you're bad God. Yeah, I'm telling him. He knew that. I was thinking that all the while. You know, it's just coming out now. So he's not upset. Jim, I love you. I know you love me, but... Hallelujah! And you know, when God sees that, it's all he's looking for. Because that's faith overcoming the world. Suddenly the door opens up. The Red Sea parts. And you go, wow, God, I had no idea. This situation I've been complaining about, it's the key to my happiness. This situation that I thought was destroying me, that was the best thing ever happened to me. This marriage going crazy, that's good. Because that's driven me now to reality. This sickness that I've got, that's good. You're not trying to kill me. You're just trying to get me to wake up. God, you're not against me. You're for me. If God be for me, who? Who? Remember when Jesus was on the earth, sometimes he would rebuke the wind, and the disciples would go, wow, even the wind obeys the guy. Then they would see demoniacs, the devils would get out. Gah! Even the devils are subject to him. Then they would see sickness. Gee, even this guy has authority over everything, everything. That same authority he's given to you. Now, the reason you don't see it is because you don't believe it. If you see, you'll believe. But the Bible says if you believe, you'll see. You got to start with faith. How much do you believe of God? How good is God? Let's say you never do anything. He still loves you. Do you believe that? Start somewhere. Start with His love. That's where He starts. When you begin with the love of God, and you don't worry about all these circumstances and whatnot, because this will come and go. You can't be happy because of this. You've got to be happy because God has given to you His Word, which produces faith, which strengthens your will, clarifies your mind, makes happy your emotions, and then you can give a good report with your mouth. And they'll go, well, I know, but be honest. How are things going? Crummy, lousy. Just really, I'm glad you asked. Terrible. You know, but you know, we don't need to tell those reports. It doesn't do any good anyway. You're never going to help out. We'll tell that to God. I'll tell God. I'll be honest to God. Hey, God, looks lousy. But I know what it looks like. But you're not walking by faith, are you? Not me, no. Just wanted to let you know. I didn't know if you were seeing it or not. I guess. Are you sure you're looking at this situation? It's pretty grim. Pretty grim, you know. And God goes, yeah, I saw it. I'm preparing something for you. Yeah, well, what? Could you just open my eyes just a little bit? If I could just see a little bit. Because right now it's real hard for me, God. It's hard for me. If I could just see a little cloud in the sky, I would laugh a little bit. If I could just see a little hope. And God says, Jim, faith. You don't need to see a little cloud in the sky. I've given you my word. I said I'd never leave you or forsake you. I said, fear not. I'm your sure defense. I'm your shield. And your exceeding great reward. Jim, do you believe that? If you'd give me a little cloud, I could maybe believe that. A little sign, a little help here, God. You know, everything looks pretty bad right now. And God loves those situations because it puts us to the test. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Your life is never so dark, so black, so crowded that there isn't some hope somewhere. Except there are times when God in your life will make it so dark, so black, so hopeless that there's no hope anywhere. Amen. Now, you must go through that one time. Did you hear me? If you're really a child of God, He's going to send you through a situation where absolutely everything will be blocked. Everything. Everything. That includes your pastor and I don't care what. There's no hope. And even God won't answer. God! You know, then you get quiet. God! You know, it doesn't matter what you do, He's not going to come through. And He's testing you. And He wants to see whether you'll rejoice with no props. No hope. Okay, so a few of you have been through that when things are just grim, 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 and it just seems like you might as well end your life. You know, what's the point of my living? You know, everything is closed off. You know, I'm never going to be happy again in this world. You know, that's what God wants. God wants you to die to this world. God wants you to give up all that strength you have and all that natural zeal. And so you need to go through a time in your life when everything is dark and black. But it'll only be one time. I'm just telling you this truth. God will not put you through that over and over again. Okay? So if you haven't been through that, ask God. you want to get that over with. Okay, God, I'm ready. You know, but build yourself up a little. Okay. I'll give you an hour. Let's get this over with, you know. But go for it right away. Anyway, these people went into the land. They saw it was a good land, but they saw there were giants in the land. There were problems. But God said, no, you misunderstand. Those giants are bread for you. I've provided as a lunch for you along the way. When you get into the land, you're going to need those giants. When you get into land, you're going to be happy that the walls were big and the walls were thick. Don't worry about it, because it'll be fun when you start walking around those walls. And you're walking around those walls, and you're walking around those walls, and nothing's happening, and you're quiet. See, you're not giving good testimony. That's like when Christians know God is good, but it doesn't look good, and their faces are ashamed. There's a time in your life when people look at you and say, where's your God? And you go, yeah, He's coming. And then people get you a week later. Where's your God? He's coming. And then they get you a week later. Where's your God? I said, where's your God? And you don't want to say anything. You just want to be quiet. You don't want to talk. Because you feel ashamed. You feel like, God, I don't know where my God is. So God had him walk around seven times. Had him walk around. He couldn't say anything to one another. They wanted to jab one another. They wanted to say something. God, look at that guy. God. You know, those giants are big. Look at the spear on that guy's, you know. It's impossible. This is impossible. These walls are not going to fall down. They wanted to say that to discourage one another. They wanted to talk it up. God, do you think those walls, do you feel like they're trembling a little bit or falling a little bit? I don't think so either. You know, if they'd have talked, they would have ruined their faith. But they weren't allowed to talk. So they're just walking around. Nothing's happening. You know, they go, well, this trumpet blast better be good. I mean, it better be big. And they're walking around. And the guy's up on the top. They're looking down. You know, and they're just having fun. They're mocking those guys, those Christians. Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's your God? And, you know, people want to do that to us. Where is our God? He isn't coming through. And He's told us to do this dumb thing. He's walking around, not getting anywhere, not doing anything. Seven times. One more time. Okay. Okay, blast. Boom. You know, the walls come tumbling down. Hey, knew it. Piece of cake. I knew it. Hey, praise God. I had all the faith in the world. I tell you. You know, but that's easy afterward. But everything is designed for you to win. Everything is designed for you to see that it wasn't you, it was God. Everything was designed for you to see you have no faith. Faith is a gift. It comes from hearing. It comes from the fact when you say, God, I don't even have any faith. But even that took faith. You have more faith than you know. Because faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the Word of God. And what you meant was, I don't have any faith in my faith. But you weren't supposed to have faith in your faith. You're supposed to have faith in God's faithfulness. Amen. There's a big difference. There's a faith movement today. But we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God. We have faith in the Word of God. God wants us to have faith in God's Word, in His own faithfulness, in His character. So God is teaching His people, everything is going your way. Don't look. Just believe me. Everything is going your way. I love you. I've prepared everything for you. I've got presents for you every day, all the time. Wondrous presents, gifts. Do you see it? You know, and if you look, you won't see it. You have to go by faith. You have to go, sure. Yeah, it's great. Awesome. How's it going? Perfect. Couldn't be better. Wow, it's awesome. You know, but don't actually look. Now, is that denial? No. Now, it is denial if you're imagining what you're looking at isn't what you're looking at. But I know what I'm looking at. I can see the guy's a giant, or I can see the wall's thick. Now, I'm not denying what I see. I'm only saying that I see more than that because I see the hand of God in the situation. Do you see the hand of God in every situation? Every situation, it's meant for good. There's not one situation in your life right now that's not meant for good. It's just... If maybe after your stubbornness. You know, a lot of you are stubborn. I mean, kind of on this side of the room. You know, and so God has to put, you know, a little pressure there, you see. But whatever it takes, because you prayed that prayer, God, whatever it takes. God, listen. Todd, have you done that? Did you say that? Man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because whenever you give God that, you know, it's like, whatever it takes, God. That's good. God listens to that. And sure enough, you know, it isn't long before you're wondering, what is going on here? You know, what is happening? Why? You know, why me? Why me? I was one of the better Christians. You know, man, I used to be bad, but I've cleaned up a great deal. I can't see why this is happening to me. You know, because God's refining you. God is having fun. He just wants to know, do you believe that I love you? No matter what happens, do you believe that I love you? And it's so easy in church to say yes. But in the real world, in the real life, it's hard. In fact, it's impossible. If you can say, praise the Lord, that's an impossible thing. It's easy for Sunday school kids. But when you actually get into the real world, no, it's impossible. Because life is designed in such a way that it's full of trouble, trials, temptations. That's why the Bible had to command you by saying, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. That is, all joy. Couldn't be better. All joy. Not some joy. No, no, no. Isn't your life wonderful? Say it right now. I have the most wonderful life. Just look at the person next to you. I have the most wonderful life. Man. And, moreover... I had the most wonderful mother and father. Say that. And I want you to say, you know, the devil tried to cause divorce and all this kind of stuff. Didn't bother me a bit. Say it. Go ahead. Tell the person. Now, that's not denial. Because what we're looking for is, I know how I reacted at the time. It did trouble me. It did bother me. But I'm seeing now, I'm giving a good report because God's hand is in that situation to bless me, not to hurt me. Otherwise, God is a liar. And God is a weakling. And God is not God. But God is not a liar. He's not a weakling. And He is God. And if He said all things, then all things. If he said rejoice always, then he meant always. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your, you know, let God know. Let all men know. Let everybody know that you have faith in God. Don't let them know about complaints and gripes. Well, 10 guys came back with a bad report. They said, it's bad. I mean, you know, really, these giants were big. There was one guy, 74 feet. You can imagine one of those guys exaggerating. It's only about 72 feet, but the guy, you know, exaggerated. This guy was, you know, monstrous. I mean, this is not going to be easy. I just want you to know, this Christian life is tough. It's not easy to do this. Sin is hard. Sin doesn't go easy. God says, my commandments are not burdensome, but I have found they are burdensome. just by experience. My experience tells me. It's hard not to lust. He said, don't. Yeah, well, that's easy for God. He's never had a problem in that area. But, you know, down here, that was not easy. God said, you know, don't be angry at your brother. But, you know, he never saw my brother, I don't think. I don't think he saw what kind of a brother and sister I'm living with. No. God says, don't be angry. He said, my commandments are not burdensome. He said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Everything's going your way. Everything. I've arranged everything. Joseph's brothers came to him and said, hey, Joseph, now that Dad is dead, don't forget your promise. You won't, will you? And Joseph said, look, I know you guys are thinking I'm going to get you because you remember the trick I pulled on you about the bags and the money I put back in there and all that. I got lots of tricks, and my latest trick is this, you know. And they were expecting him to kind of, you know, do him in now that Dad is dead. And they were thinking, what's he going to do now? He's got all the power. He was the number one power in the world. He had power of attorney over Pharaoh because he even had the ring of Pharaoh. He had all the power to do anything he wanted to do. And now that they remembered how they threw him in a pit, spit on him, kicked him, did all that stuff. They remembered how he did that, betrayed him. You know, and he was thinking, that was unjust because God really gave me that dream that you guys were to bow down. And they remembered how they mistreated him, didn't believe him. And now is his time for revenge. Now is his time for revenge. And so Joseph says to him, look, you guys got it all wrong. What you intended for evil. I mean, I know you guys, what you hated me. God, you hated me. I remember, God, here, see this bruise right here. You guys hated me, but God intended it for good. God turned what you meant for evil into good. It's the best thing ever happened to me. I'm glad you guys kicked me and beat me and did all that. Man, it humbled me big time. And I did. I wanted to kill you. Yeah, that's right. I did want to kill you at that time. If I'd have had my, you know, my machine gun, I would have wiped you guys out. But since then, I began to realize God had a plan in all of that. And everything negative that happened for the last 22 years, which is nothing. 22 years, what's that? Nothing. Everything that happened during that time was actually for my good. I couldn't be where I am today except it be for all the troubles I went through. Do you understand what troubles are for? They're meant to bless you. Count it all joy when you face various troubles, trials, temptations. Count it all joy when you face various trials, troubles, temptations. Incest, child abuse, divorce, wickedness. It doesn't make any difference. Hypocrisy, self-righteousness. It doesn't matter how you were treated or mistreated. It doesn't matter what you did. A lady called me today and said, my husband's going into the penitentiary again. Is there any hope for him? Should I divorce him? He's going to be gone, they say, till 1997. Should I just, you know, give up on the guy? No. It's exciting. It's exciting, huh? Yes. Let's just rejoice. He won't be beating you anymore? No. Actually, this woman, her husband had pushed her under the water 3 times to kill her and drown her. And then the third time, she just said, oh, God, I'm finished. I'm lost. This guy is going to kill me. But, you know, I have my faith in you. And he took her out of the water and then just kicked her with all he had into her face. And she said, thank God, because otherwise he would have drowned me. And after he kicked me, he ran off. So she didn't die. And then called her up, you know, back up and apologized, asked her to forgive him. What do you think of that? Sometimes life is hard. It's awful. It's terrible. But God says, count it all joy. You know, this woman was able to count it all joy. Not cheaply, but seriously. To say, you know, all my friends have told me, get rid of the guy, he's a jerk. I could understand her friends. It made sense. It'd be normal, natural. But you know, that isn't God. God says this man is worth something. This man is like two people inside himself. It's like one personality is one way, then he has another personality. Sometimes he's demonic and wretched. Do you know this man is now calling out and saying, honey, what I need is deliverance. I don't even know what it is, but I need it. I just get a demonic, something comes over me and I go crazy. He said, please don't throw me off. Help me. You don't know. It's terrible. Please. Now, is the second one a liar and the first one the truth? Is he really open to God? Does he really want to be set free? Did the demoniac that Jesus met really want to come into his rightful mind? Does anybody who's living a demonic life like it? Can you really rejoice? I mean, rejoice. Is there really hope? I'm excited. They're going to send him back here. He's in Oklahoma now. They're going to send him back here to Fort Worth. We'll have an opportunity to go and talk to him. I don't have any doubt this man will not only receive the Lord, but he'll be set free. No doubt at all. In fact, the worse they are, the better they are. You know, the only problem in this world is righteousness, self-righteousness. This man was raised in a Christian home. Most of our emotional problem people are raised in Christian homes. Christianity produces a lot of aberrations. If you don't get it right, it won't be right. It's easy to get it wrong. You can go to the top floor of any one of our hospitals and you can discover all those people are either Jesus Christ or one of the prophets. Every one of them. They got some kind of religious guilt, fear, confusion. No one ever told them the truth. They heard words, but no one ever told them the truth. They never did experience unconditional love. Not one of them. And I've met lots and lots and lots of them. And I've seen lots and lots of them be totally set free within 10 minutes. Totally set free. Because they need to hear the Word of God. And that produces faith. They never heard that God loves them. I need that. I need to hear that God is merciful. And no matter what I've done, I'm not that different than somebody else. You're not that different. Oh, we may not do the same behavior. But emotionally, it's the same. Most people in this world have never had emotional happiness. How could you be a Christian and not be emotionally happy? Something's wrong. God wants you every day to experience emotional happiness. I mean, it'll change your life. It's not easy. In this world, it's hard. The whole world conspires against you coming out. You want to just hold in. You want to form a hard shell. You don't want to be hurt. Because if you start opening up, you're going to be hurt. You're going to hope and you're going to get hurt. And you're going to be disillusioned. And people are going to get into you. And you better have a God. And you better be able to say, oh, those people are bread. God provided that. You got to turn to God. You can't manipulate people to be nice to you. You can't expect people to be good. It's God who's good. God never said people were good, did he? They may look good. The ones that look good are the most deceptive. Hello? The ones that look good, be careful. The ones that are openly troublesome and falling apart, those are the kind Jesus went to. There's more hope for those because they know they're a mess. So they need to be told the truth. And they're unteachable or they're tough to teach. But teach them the right thing. Teach them the love of God. You tell someone the love of God, I tell you, it's like pouring water on thirsty ground. It's hard on religious people because religious people imagine that they're already halfway there. And they're not. Religious people have to repent twice. Thank you. I'm serious. They do. That's why Jesus said it's easier for a harlot or a tax collector to go into the kingdom of heaven before you. They have to repent twice. They have to repent first of their self-righteousness, then they have to repent of their sin. They have to make two moves, whereas sinners only have to repent once. Hello? So it isn't always an advantage to grow up in church. Now, don't feel bad that you grew up in church. It's okay. But a lot of times church people are lied to because we like to tell little children all these neat stories, but they don't really have the revelation of what those stories are all about. Because we tell little children to behave themselves as though they could do it. And all little kids are kind of prompted to want to do it. And then they feel guilty, guilty, guilty. I tell you, little kids have tremendous guilt over the fact that they know they didn't do it, or that some other little brat in the class is actually more liked than they are. Hey, Mom, I don't understand it. That kid's a brat, and the teacher, I think the teacher likes him. A lot of times you'll notice when you're good, it doesn't pay. Sometimes they'll reward you, which is wrong, and sometimes they'll actually reward the bad kid, which is wrong. It makes great confusion in little kids. What is this Jesus all about? What is Christianity all about? You see, our standard religious teaching is that we can be good. The Bible never said that. It's the greatest heresy. That's why they killed Jesus. They killed Jesus for that reason and that reason only. Because he said there's no difference between good people and bad people. So the good people killed him. Not one bad people killed Jesus. Not that they didn't. It's just that the actual sin was no different. And Jesus wanted to reveal the hearts of all men. The bad people knew about their sin. But it was the good people that actually killed Jesus. They were enraged when he said, God forgives sinners, and you won't get into the kingdom of heaven first. They were enraged. You're crazy, Jesus. Crazy. Jesus said, you have a demon.
If we don't.
You know. This came right out, you know. They were offended that he would say that. They were the most good people. You know, as nice neighbors, had plaques on their walls. Good neighbor plaques and stuff like that. Tithe twice a week. You know, these people have done everything right. How can he say that to their demons? You have a demon, they said. Huh. You see, Jesus brought out the hearts of everybody. The harlots kind of like the guy. You should see Jesus. I don't know, I feel good around him. They liked him. Jesus was having fun. He liked to be in their houses. They're not phony. They weren't phony. They were just real. They were just themselves. Mary Magdalene loved him more than anybody else. Not because she was a harlot, because she had 7 devils cast out of her. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. You want to be a lover in the kingdom of God? You have to be a sinner. Only sinners, people that know their sin, can really love God, who know how much you've been forgiven. Because we are full of complaints, and we do have bad reports in us. And when we come back, we want to talk about the giants and how big the walls are and how we don't believe in God. We're Christians, but we don't believe in God. That is, psychologically. We're mad a lot of the time. Even though we put on a nice smile, we're not really happy. We're unhappy. Don't like it. Nothing's working right. I prayed to God. God saved my marriage, and he didn't. It was crummy of him. I didn't say that, but he knew it. He knew I was unhappy. You can't hide from God. God sees everything. Anytime trouble comes, you're going to fall. You're not going to be a good Christian. When trouble comes, God said to be of good cheer, but you're not. You're going to be a bad cheer. You're going to be angry, mad, hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, and justifiably so. And the finger will go right up to God. The woman thou gavest me. Is you a woman? You gave me this woman. I just want you to know, God, you made a big mistake there. The husband thou gavest me. No, the husband he gave you is perfect for you. Just what you needed to break you. Hello? This is fun. It's good teaching. Cut through all the nonsense. You know, God wants you to be happy all the time, emotionally. Are you emotionally happy? The only way you can do is don't look at circumstances. Don't look at relationships. Don't look at the church. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at anything down here. Don't look. Look at God. Listen to God. The mind that is stayed on thee hath perfect peace. You want peace all the time? Stay your mind on God. That's easy. It's not hard to stay your mind. Here's the mind. Now, the mind that's not stayed on thee is over here. Double mind. Doubt. Confusion. Two. So, inside of me is a war going on between these two. On the one side is God, the other side is Satan. They're not equal at all. One's a creature, one's God. Nevertheless, Satan tries to replace God. And he points to experiences which cause doubt. I don't know if God does love me. Look at all the things that are happening to me. Look at my friends. Look at circumstances. And look at me. And I've even prayed. And so that causes doubt. This is for a Christian. Then my will is weakened. And my mind becomes confused. I don't know if God does love me. I don't know what I want. I don't know. And I, you know, when I fall into sin, I want then, since I'm confused, I want then to satisfy my lusts. Because that will give me a little bit of comfort. A little bit of immediate comfort. Because God isn't coming through. So, I'm just going to go out and sin. Now, I don't tell him it's because I'm mad at him. That's what it is. But it's I want some satisfaction right now, and he's not giving it to me. I'm angry at him. And I'm going to let him know. But I don't want to know that I'm going to let him know. I want to try to hide that. I'm sinning, yes, but it's not because I'm really angry at God. I'm just sinning. I'm weak. I'm making provision. I'm making provision for the flesh. You know, if God, if you had blessed me more, I wouldn't be doing all these sins. I'm doing them because I can't help it. It's hard. Now I'm making all kinds of good thoughts here. You see, something wrong with my mind. But if my mind were fixed, if it were strong, you see, if my mind was clear, God loves me with a perfect love, sin would never come up. When you sin, you don't know God loves you. When you sin, oh, you know the doctrine, but you don't actually know it emotionally. You don't actually know it intellectually. You don't actually know it in your lusts, you see. That's why my will is weakened. So when I'm looking at experiences rather than listening to the Word, I'm listening to experiences rather than the Word, then instead of faith, it's doubt. Without faith, you can't please God. Then my will is weak, my mind is confused, and my feelings are unhappy, and I'm going to give a complaint, and I'm going to accuse God, and there'll be no worship in me. So God wants the flesh man to die. That's why the troubles have come, to kill the flesh man. You know when the flesh comes out? Don't be surprised. What's this? No, that isn't you. That just feels like you. That just thinks like you. That just talks like you and walks like you. But it's not you at all. That's your old you. So you just reckon it dead. I reckon you're dead. Now, then you just turn away. You don't pay attention to that. You don't care what you feel like. You don't care what you're thinking, saying, accusing, biting. Don't give any attention to that. Now let your mouth just say, God, I love you. God, I'm so happy. If you just say that, pretty soon that will do this guy in. Because this guy's saying over here, give the complaint. I tell you, it stinks around here. It's no good. You know. And this guy over here is saying, I love you, God. Everything is wonderful. Now here's two opposite guys living inside of you. This one over here is saying, life stinks. This one over here saying, isn't everything wonderful? I couldn't be happier. Everything's going my way. I tell you, I'm blessed. Now, one of those guys is going to win. They will not coexist. Those guys will not live together for more than a few seconds. One is going to have to be put down. The other's going to have to be lifted up. So give them both a chance. Let this one speak. Would you like to say something? You bet I would. All right. You know, and let him out. Let him spout. Don't let the hypocrite and the guy in the middle, you know, sort of, he'll be two-faced. I love you, God. I hate your guts. I love you, God. I hate your guts. No, let's hear it clearly and loudly. Let this guy have his day in court. Have you got anything to complain about? You bet I do. And then just let him out. God's not surprised. He saw it all the time when it was hidden anyway. Now just let it out. And when you hear it, this guy's going, that's not true. God is good. I don't believe that. Because this guy starts to say silly things like, I wish I were dead. Or I wish others were. Yes, I'll take the latter. I would kill myself, but, you know. And this guy, when he's listening to all that, he'll realize there's something wrong. And he'll just say, that's not me. That's not really me. I don't really want all that to happen. I don't want this person to be me. And you'll remember then the word of the Lord that says, reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God. You remember the word of the Lord that says, put off the old man, put on the new. You remember the word of the Lord that says, give praise to God, because God dwelleth in the praises of his people. You remember that it says, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Suddenly you remember, rejoice in the Lord always. Suddenly you remember, 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 remember. God will bring to you then the word of God. But he won't do it unless this guy comes out. You've got to be honest. Though you want to rejoice all the time, you know you're not. You're a complainer. You're a griper. You have a bad report a lot. I can see it on your faces. So when you wake up in the morning, both guys are going to wake up. And, you know, let them out. You know, and you can, if this guy won't come out, let this guy come out. I love you, God, so much. Hey, wait a minute. Shut up. I want to say something here. And, you know, so you don't have to worry about getting these two guys out. Because if this guy spouts out long enough, this guy will shut him up. So sooner or later, one of them is going to win. So let them both out. This is just to God. This is not to your wife, your neighbor, anybody else. Just to God. Pretty soon this one will die. This one always wins. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you know the truth, this one will always win. The truth will set you free. I have a wonderful marriage. Say it. I have a wonderful marriage. And if you're single, I'm happy being single. I don't want a mate. I'm not done. Just trust me. I don't want a mate to make me happy. Because I'm already happy. Now, I might take a mate just to show my happiness. See what I'm saying? That's the truth. This guy's saying, if I don't get a mate, you know. But this guy's lying. This guy is lying. You are totally happy right now. I'm totally happy. If I never got married, I'd be totally happy. I'm already happy. That's the truth. And you've got to speak this until this guy is dead. And it's just kind of a war of talking here. Because this guy's going by sight and by experience. This guy's going by the word. And you can't wait for this guy to get the word, experience. No. You just have to speak by faith. And if you do, you'll find you have power. Give a good report. God wants you every day to wake up and be happy. The way to do that is you're going to have to kill this guy first. As you begin rejoicing in the Lord, this guy will come up. You've got to kill him or her, whoever it is. You've got to wipe that person out. And the only way to do that is expose them by bringing them into the light. You bring them into the light. Let them come into the presence of God, accusing. God often said to people, he said, you got something against me, don't you, Job? No. No. Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. You know. But a week later, cursed be the day I was born. Job, have you got anything against me? No, I said, cursed the day I was born, I said. And about 2 weeks later, you know, those guys telling him all that theology and so on. They didn't love him before he's saying, you know, God, I do have something I'd like to say to you. Could you please stand right here now while I talk this thing out with you? And after he was done, God said, you done, Job? No. And he said a few more things. And God says, you done now? Yes. I think I've said it all. He said, okay, now I want to ask you some questions. I want to talk to you now. And when God began to talk to Job after he'd gotten all his junk out, Job put his hand in his mouth and he said, wow, God, wow, forgive me. I'm sorry. Okay, all right. Whoa, I see it. What I heard with the hearing of the ear, now I've seen with the seeing of the eye. I know now that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that I shall see in the land of the living, not in the world to come, but now, my salvation. I'll tell you, God wants you to get all that junk out. That's why you're not smiling and happy all the time, because this other guy's in there accusing, but he's being repressed, suppressed, held down. Let him out. Bring him out in the light. And then you'll have nothing in you but one voice. I'll tell you, really be happy. Every day, that's what I do. Every day. I have to again say, God, I want to be happy. I'm not trying to find out anything about God. I don't want to know anything about God. I just want to be happy. Why? Because that's where God starts. God starts with your happiness. Emotional. Not, I'm spiritually happy. No, 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 no. It has to be emotional happiness. I tell you, it'll kill you. Because there's another guy in me that doesn't want to be emotionally happy. That other guy is called the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to be happy. The flesh wants to complain and gripe and give a negative report about God. To accuse, to excuse, and to accuse the neighbor. But as Christians, we only want to give praise to God. We want to give a good report at all times. Marriage is the greatest thing in the world. You know, it's wonderful. But you guys couldn't tell everything. I know that. You had to make up stuff. So, you know, you give a good report. Always give a good report. At the end of the road, God's going to ask you, how was it? Did you lack anything? Did your shoes wear out? Was your clothing okay? Did you enjoy everything? And you got to be able to say, yeah, perfect. Couldn't have been better. Even the negative stuff that I thought along the way, I saw your hand in it. You're not being cheated. God couldn't cheat you. Otherwise, he's not worthy. Otherwise, he's not God. We don't have a God of the Hindus or the Buddhists, the Islamic God. Look at Saddam. He didn't have a good God. No, we've got a God that's awesome. Nothing's too good for you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too good for you? No. Not in the world to come. Now. You don't see it, yes, but you see some of it. But you don't have to see all of it because you have faith. And if you will believe, you'll see more and more. How much can you see? Quite a bit. But not if you're a griper and a complainer. Even if you're keeping it to yourself, he sees it. Let it out. Become a praiser of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we love you. We adore you. We worship you. We speak to you words. We're not expressing feelings. Feelings come and go. But to be honest, Lord, we do feel good. We do feel hope. Now, we believe in hope, but we also feel it. But our belief, our faith, is like a rock. Our feelings come and go. But it's good to feel it. And we thank you, Lord God, that it's part of your gift to us. That in this world, not in a nicer world, not in a better world, not in a better marriage, not in a better family, not in a better city. No, in this place, at this time, we're happy. We have a good report. We have nothing negative to say. We only have praise unto our God. We only have worship for you. We only have something positive to say. We only have encouraging words. And even all the troubles, we know that they're just there to provide bread for us. Everything that's negative in this world is to provide bread for us. Yes, there are real problems in this world, but we're not troubled by the troubles. The problems don't hurt us. They're there, but they're meant to be good for us because you not only forgive us, but you redeem every situation. When we do wrong, you forgive and forget. When others do wrong, you turn it for good. No matter what happens, it's always good. It's not Pollyanna. It's not denial. It's not hypocrisy. It's the truth. And the truth shall set us free. You are a good God. We're not judging our happiness based on circumstance, but based on your word, based on our relationship to you, based on your love to us. You love us with a perfect love. We'll never complain. No one has ever been as good as you. You're such a wonderful God. I thank you for this people, Lord, for these who have come tonight to hear the word of the Lord, that they might be set free from emotional unhappiness, set free from fear, guilt, anger, set free from those sins that would undermine us, and steal away our joy, our peace, our life, our energy, our health. God, restore unto this people the joy of your salvation. Restore unto us, Lord God, that praise, that joy, that peace that passes understanding, that guards and keeps our lives in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Anyone want to testify? Just say that was the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord.